Pay attention to the intro music this week. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes.
Driving home to be with you, the highways divide, the city's in view. As usual, I'm almost on time. You're the last thing that's on my mind. Wish I
It's time for another CoasterGallery.com podcast. This is episode 1206 for May 2nd, 2012. Thanks for listening. My name is Joel Rogers, and we're going to talk about a couple things today. We're going to briefly cover the new Harry Potter ride at Universal. Okay, it's really not new. It's been there like a year and a half, but I finally got around to it. I'm going to have a photography rant. And then once I impress you with my knowledge of photography, I have to admit my stupidity. I learned something this week that I had no idea, so we're going to have to talk about that. I'm going to tell you about the song we just listened to. It's either the happiest sad song I've ever heard of or the saddest happy song. I haven't figured it out. You'll have to listen. And then we're going to end with a conundrum that I'm facing. I'm looking for some advice from you. So now, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. I went down to Orlando a week or two ago, and yes, those pictures are going to be on CoasterGallery.com in a few weeks. I've been busy with my art show. But I want to touch briefly on the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. I went down there a little unsure of what to expect, because this thing has been voted best new attraction by ThemeParkInsider.com in 2010. It was best dark ride by Amusement Today and won the Golden Ticket Award in 2011. And I was thinking, well, I've heard a lot of good things about it. It probably won't live up to the hype. And you know what? It did. It's an amazing ride. If you like the Spider-Man dark ride down in Universal Orlando, this is even much more impressive. I don't want to spoil the surprise. I don't want to give it away. But it is just amazing. I rode it the first time. Actually, let me take a step back. Just walking through the waiting queue was amazing. We spent, 20, 30 minutes in the queue. Didn't even see all the gags. You go through Dumbledore's office, the Defense Against the Dark Arts classroom. You go through, I think it's Gryffindor's common room, the Room of Requirement. You see all these gags, the Sorting Hat talks, and it snows, and there's just all these details. In fact, I think we've mentioned this before, you can get what's known as the castle tour and just wait through the line, not even ride the ride, just experience the waiting queue. And it's worth it. It's just amazing. The ride itself, one of the times I rode it, I intentionally didn't watch the show. I leaned way forward and looked out to the side just to figure out how the heck they did this. These big robotic arms on cars, I wanted to see one. I wanted to figure out how they do these projections and what kind of weird screen we're going in. And it's just amazing, amazing technology. I hope when Universal finally gets around to announcing what they're going to do in California, that they could build an identical ride and it'd be worth every penny. I loved it. The rest of the area, I kind of had mixed emotions about. Very cramped, very crowded. The stores were very cool, like Honeydukes and what else was there? We never got into Ollivander's. To give you an idea how cramped and crowded it was, I got to go in the park at 8 a.m. before it even opened to the general public because I stayed at a Universal hotel. I did several laps on the Forbidden Journey and then thought, well, I'll go check out the wand shop. At 9:15 in the morning, Ollivander's had a 1 hour and 20 minute wait. It's a shop with a little show where they do the recreation of the first or the scenes in the first Harry Potter movie where the wand selects you. But my gosh, an hour and 20 minute wait. That's crazy. But hey, it's popular. The other two rides, Dragon Challenge, formerly known as Dueling Dragons, and Flight of the Hippogriff, which used to be, what was the name of it? Flying Unicorn or something. They're the same rides, just rethemed a little bit. Sadly, the Dueling Dragons, or like I said, now Dragon Challenge, doesn't duel anymore. It used to be this amazing ride. It opened in 1999 or 2000. I was first there in early 2000, and it was very new. The two trains were literally weighed as they left the station, and as they went up the lift hill would adjust, or lift hills would adjust the relative position of the trains. So once they ran on the course, three times they met at exactly the right location. It was a great gag, but they actually had one or two incidences of loose objects either falling apart or being thrown at people on the other train and being hit. So Universal, about 6 months ago, announced that the Dueling Dragons will no longer duel, which is a loss. I mean, it's a great coaster. It's a great B&M inverted, but that front row view of you approaching the other train at full speed and then at the last second pulling up into a loop is just phenomenal. And that was such a neat effect. Even sitting in the back, I remember just relaxing and enjoying the ride. And at one point I looked down at my feet and saw another pair of feet from the other train just out of nowhere. And that is going to be missed. I did spend a day at the Universal Studios portion of the parks. And the Jaws ride was not only gone, they were moving dirt. So they are making good progress at whatever is going to come. It's going to be something Harry Potter. Look for a coaster and more shops and maybe another ride. But Universal still has not said anything officially. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. One of the things that drove me nuts that day when I was at Universal Studios, I saw a lot of people walking around with nice, shiny new cameras that they got at Sam's or Costco. They've got the nice DSLR, probably $500 to $1,000 range. And they're outside on a sunny day taking pictures of coasters or the Hogwarts castle. And they've got the pop-up flash on. Why? There are a few things that annoy me about this. I know a few episodes ago I talked about using fill flash, and one of the best times to use that pop-up flash is in the daylight. But let me be more specific. If you're taking something up close, then it works. Now, flash photography has a law known as the inverse square law, and I'm not a physicist? Physician, not physician. Well, I'm none of those. But anyway, it's been a long time since I've had my physics class, and I'll try and remember what the inverse square law is. It's something because it's a sphere, light travels in a sphere from a point outward, and there's something about the area of a sphere is 4 pi r squared, I think. What it comes down to is the strength is inversely proportional. I got to read this. The strength is inversely proportional to the square of the distance from the source of the flash. So in plain language, when you double the distance, you only get a quarter of the light. So here's your example. If you stand 1 foot away from the flash, you get full power. If you now move to 2 feet away, you only get a quarter or fourth of the power. If you move to 4 feet away from the flash, you get 1/16th of the power. If you get to 8 feet away from the flash, which is honestly a pretty good distance for taking pictures, you get 1/64th of the power. At 10 feet away, you get 1/100th of the power. Now, I saw people taking pictures of the castle. Let's say it was 100 feet away. I'll save you the math. You get 1/10,000th of the power. So really, that little pop-up flash, 6 to 12 feet tops. If you've got a nice $500 big speed light, you might get 15 feet, maybe 20 feet if you're lucky. But even beyond that, it's nothing. The photons there are just so spread out, you're not going to get anything back. And then who knows what's going to bounce back off the object. If it's a dark object, give it up. You got nothing coming back to your sensor. So anyway, I see these people. They've got the 250 millimeter lens. They're zooming in, trying to get details in the pop-up flash. Just so wrong. There's two things that bother me with this. Number one, it's a huge waste of the battery. That flash takes a lot of juice. And if you're outside all day taking pictures, it's not going to help you, believe me. Number two, it just makes you look like you don't know what you're doing. If you're outside taking distant shots with your flash up, you look like an idiot. So do me a favor, think about it. Learn how to control the flash. If you're on the auto mode, it might pop up automatically. It's another reason I want you to get away from those auto modes, get into aperture priority or something else. We talked last week about different modes for Jeff, and trying to get him off that green square or that auto mode. So get off the auto, control the flash when you want it, when you don't. If you're taking a picture of somebody 5 feet away and you want a little fill light for the shadows, pop it up. If you're taking something more than 10 feet away, don't bother. Shut that flash off. Now, I sound like I know what I'm talking about when I deal with photography. Guess what? I'm an idiot. I have no idea. I've been shooting Canon cameras now for a while, and I just learned something I had no idea about. Every Canon, Rebel, EOS, 50, 40, 30D, 75Ds have this nice little Canon strap which says Canon on it. Wonderful marketing thing. What I didn't know, there's a little rubber thing threaded through there that's the eyepiece cover. You can unthread it, pop that little dude on your eyepiece, and that prevents light getting into your camera on a long exposure and messing up your camera. I had no idea. All this time I've been carrying this dumb thing around my neck. So the music pick. I'm flying by myself today because Jeff is actually out of town, and he performed this weekend, so I'm sure he's living the musician life, and fending off the groupies, trashing his hotel room, throwing desks out the window, that kind of stuff. I'm going to pick a track today, so you only get the one track, and again, we're going to push things that you probably haven't heard of. Bare Naked Ladies. Okay, you've probably heard of Bare Naked Ladies, but the track I want to pick is called Tonight is the Night I Fell Asleep at the Wheel. And I'm still unsure if this is a happy song or not. It's pretty gruesome, thinking about the subject. But it ends with, "You're the last thing on my mind," which can be a really nice play on words that either you're not, this person is not thinking about his girlfriend, or the girlfriend was the last thing he thought about before he died. So you really have to listen to this song. I like it musically. It's written in three. We talked about the stuff written in seven a few weeks ago. This one's in a three beats per measure. Neat little feeling and orchestration. There's a little hemiola at the end, and you know what? I don't want to even define that because Jeff's the musician and I'm not, so we're going to save that for another time. But here's the deal. You know how this works. If you go to coastergallery.com, you can click on the lower left corner, at least at the moment when I record this, it's in the lower left corner. There's a thing that says podcast, or you could type in coastergallery.com/blog, look for episode 1205. There's a link to the song on Amazon.com. You could get a little 30-second preview of it. I'd prefer it if you'd go ahead and spend the whole 99 cents and buy it. You know how it works with Amazon. You get it. You get to listen to it on any platform. It doesn't have the same rights management issues that Apple's iTunes store has. So listen to it. You invest 99 cents. Amazon gets a couple cents. The Bare Naked Ladies get some money for their trouble. And I think I get 2 or 3 cents as part of the deal, as part of this affiliates deal. You'll like it. It'll bring a smile to your face, even though the bridge is really talking about blood. Boy, how did we get onto this one? Anyway, so here's my conundrum for this week. I find myself with 30 hours to kill near Hershey, Pennsylvania. So what am I going to do? Hershey Park. Here's the problem. The new coaster does not open. The park's open. New coaster's not open for another 3 or 4 weeks. So do I go or not? I want to ride it. Sure, I'd like to photograph it. But I'm a coaster geek. I want to ride the thing. So do I go there now, photograph it, not get on it? Do I go to a different park, come back later in the year? What would you do if you were in my shoes? Let me know. Joel@coastergallery.com is my email address. You can catch me on Twitter, @coastergallery. You can leave me a message on Facebook, facebook.com/coastergallery. Did I mention Coaster Gallery enough in this episode? Probably not. So next week, we will talk more about what has changed on Coaster Gallery. I'll mention the adventures I've had this week, printing, framing, organizing, trying to work on my first art show, give you some tips about how to make your prints look more like what you see on the screen, and more. Let me know what you want to hear next week. There's still plenty of topic areas we haven't covered. Photography, coasters, music. Whatever you do this week, I hope you go out there and have some fun. Bye-bye. What the heck was that music? That was the end of Tonight is the Night I Fell Asleep at the Wheel. But if you look on Amazon, it's an 8-minute track. There's a hidden song at the end of it. So after a few moments of silence, there's a whole other song.
Kind of like this podcast. You never know what's at the end of the track.